Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're far too kind. Come on, sit down. I appreciate you. You're far too kind. Welcome to Plant Better Conferences. Come on, make some noise. You get to hear a lot of this on our podcast, too. Brick by Brick, Les Brown, Maximum Achievement Team. Make some noise.
Welcome to Season 6 of Brick by Brick with Antonio and Tempest. Thank you for checking us out. Thank you for being with us all this time. I really hope that this season is life-changing for you. I hope this season inspires you to go out in the world and be amazing. I hope that this season inspires you to rebuild your life brick by brick. We're always here to help you. You can always check us out online at batsjr.com or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, same, theatsjr.com, or email us info@theatsjr.com. We're here to help you plant better. Thanks again. Enjoy the show.
Okay, welcome to lesson 4 of Overcoming Low Self-Esteem. I have my two empaths back. One is in front of me and the other is in front of me digitally. And let's see if we both can get them to say hi.
Hello.
And you now.
Hi.
All right, there we go. So we got them on the FaceTime and in front of us. So let me give you lesson 4, what we're talking about, but we want to open it up with more discussions, okay? Great. So lesson 4 is what causes low self-esteem. Okay, that's what causes low self-esteem. Now, let's try this way, since I have two great empaths that will be talking and doing great things for us. We'll start with you in front of me. Name some things or one thing that caused your low self-esteem.
Not feeling like I'm enough.
Not feeling like you're enough. Okay, we covered that in the lesson. Okay, so I wonder, let me direct this now to the audience. How many of you have reached a point in which you have not felt like you are enough? Now, let's do this. And what about you in front of me here? What causes or what caused or causes your low self-esteem?
I think comparison.
Wow, comparison. So these are two things. I'm not enough and comparison. And they can actually be intertwined and then they can actually stand alone. I am not enough and comparison. So let's open up both of those things because we want to help our viewing audience, because this isn't about, for me, I'm trying to change the world, help the world, save the world. And there are too many wonderful, kind people suffering from sadness. Too many great people are having the worst day of their life every day they get up. And so we want to change that. And hopefully my two super empaths and then this super duper superpower empath over the internet here can help us as well. So won't you just free talk about how I am not enough affects you or how you got past it or anything like that?
I am not enough affected every aspect of my life. From relationships to business to I am not enough for myself to I am not enough to accomplish this. Like it's a slow process to get through, because it also deals with your self-esteem level has to be at a certain level to be able to say, okay, I'm enough for this. You know, it also dips into parenthood.
Okay.
The thing of I'm not enough.
You might as well.
So, when you feel like you're not enough, it hurts you because you feel like you're never going to be enough. Mm. You're never going to be enough for this person to love you because you're not enough for them. They always want something more. you're never going to be enough to accomplish this because there's always somebody better than you that can do it better than you can. You're never going to be enough to be a great mother because you suck. Like, you can't be a great mother because you weren't enough here and there and there. So why would you be, how can you be a mother if you're not, or a parent in general, if you weren't enough for him to love you enough to fight you? If you weren't enough to get the job done to keep your job? If you weren't enough to not be compared to somebody else, how can you be enough to be a parent? So, it has a tendency to knock you down to the point where you're just like, well, I'm not enough, so why even fight? Why even try? Why even push? Why even get up? Which leads to depression. And the more you're in it, the deeper you get into it, and it's harder to come out of it.
It makes total sense. Makes total sense. It's all your fault you're not here to give her a hug, because she totally needs one right now. Thank you. Can we clap for that? Can they hear your internet claps? Can you hear internet claps? There you go. You hear right there. Good, good. You hear internet claps. Wow. Right? There's not much. I wish... my only regret there is that the audience can't see you. And that's on purpose. These guys are bearing their soul. And I don't want you... You know what? One day you'll see them. And whenever they're ready. One day you'll see them and there'll be famous faces. And you'll go, oh my God, that was you. You saved me. But for now, you don't have to get that just now. No, it's okay. It's just totally okay. It's okay. She was... So, you struggle with that. You passed it. And you still struggle with it today. Because, now that's not to say you're weak or anything. This is for everybody. You don't just stop struggling with things. It's like, so I spent the bulk of my childhood homeless. Like, the bulk of it. It's not that I am afraid to be homeless again. It is simply that since I went through that, it has affected a lot of my behavior today. I am a workaholic, as never to be homeless again. Does that make sense? I do not live beyond my means, as never to be homeless again. And things like that. So, just because you still struggle with something doesn't make you less of a person. And I know our friend here said that yesterday. It doesn't make you less of a person. It just simply makes it something you continue to struggle with. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Good. Great job. Super duper great job. Do you have a word of encouragement for someone who feels exactly like that? For someone who struggles with low self-esteem to another person. What would you say to them?
Whatever you do, however you feel, don't give up. It's selfish to give up. Because you never know who's watching you. You never know what's on the other end of that. You never get to know you.
It's okay.
When you get that gut-wrenching feeling to reach out to somebody, do that. Because you never know what that person is going to help you through. You never know why you get that gut-wrenching feeling, but always reach out to them. Because it may not be for you, it may be for them. So never give up, never give up. And when I say never give up, I mean that literally. Don't give up on your life. Don't do that. not only is it selfish, but you're going to miss out.
Yeah.
If I gave up on my life, I wouldn't have my son. If I gave up on my life, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't even be... I wouldn't know how it feels to come out of that.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling to have when you realize, oh, there's more to me than I thought I knew. There's more to this life than it really is. Life really is great. So when I say the last lesson you asked us that same question, I said, don't give up.
Yeah.
I meant that mentally. Just keep striving, keep pushing. But today, I mean literally, don't give up on your life. Because it really is being selfish, because you never know what's on the other end of your life.
Yeah.
You really have to live it. So that's why I say, when you get that gut-wrenching feeling to reach out to somebody, reach out to that person. Because that person may help you get through what you're getting through, just so you can see what's on the other end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't give up on you. Don't give up on your life. It's easy to say it's not that bad. But to actually feel it and to feel like things would just be better if I wasn't here, I understand that feeling. Push past that feeling.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't give into that feeling.
Okay, I think you just went somewhere. So let me, and thank you. No, thank you very much. You guys can't see, but you can obviously tell she's... That word of encouragement she just gave to you all was filled with tears. They were, yes, I'm sorry, I should have offered you a napkin. Filled with tears. So please, let's be thankful for her courage. And we've got a super wonderful person here. And I'd like to ask you a question that she just touched on at the end. I was going to let you do something else, but I kind of feel I'm supposed to ask you this. How do you feel? Have you ever experienced that it would just be better if I wasn't here feeling?
Yes.
And so explain that in whatever way that your empathy needs this class to have a value added to it, and for the people who may need to hear such a thing.
I was so low and felt so low that it didn't matter if I was alive or not.
Yeah.
Like at one point I felt like I would rather just be dead than to face another day in this mindset. With this much weight on my shoulder. Like, this isn't life. So it'd probably be best if I just wasn't here. So that way, I won't have to feel the pain anymore. And maybe other people will feel the pain that I feel every day.
Wow. Wow. So I'm sure people out there feeling that way. This is, guys, again, I don't mean to brag, but the way we do courses and classes, we talk about real issues, and I've handpicked people who've been there, currently struggling with, to help me add value to the class. It's one thing to just tell you, all right, do this, do this, do this, do this, do that. But let's face it, some of this you can do on a Google search. That means nothing. Well, and that means little. I don't want to, you know, discount the people who have done massive amounts of research. I'm just good at this because I've been very bad at life, to be honest with you. It's hard to be good at life until you've actually been bad at it. I know it's a paradox, but that's actually the way it goes. Okay, so we'll move on so we can get these guys, these wonderful empathetic women time to dry their faces. And so what causes low self-esteem? That's good. Well, one thing that can cause your low self-esteem is your childhood. talk about that. Yes. Your childhood. Yes. And inside your childhood, that also includes your community and your school. We had one of them say yesterday that they learned how to compare at school. And so, since I'm always second place at school, I'm sure I'm always second place everywhere else. Second place belongs to me. Right, that was touching, very touching, right? Does that make sense? So your school will do that. Anything that you think badly about, let's list a few of them. You ready? Okay, try not to go too much. I'm open them up, but try not to die in front of you, okay? Systematic punishment. Neglect or abuse. Yes. One of the biggest things that cause low self-esteem is systematic punishment, neglect or abuse. What does systematic punishment mean?
Is that like timeout or spankings or?
So those are okay.
Okay.
Imagine having a culture of timeout and spankings. That's not too bad. But let's go with what will cause low self-esteem. My dad is a drunk. And whenever he gets drunk, there's systematic abuse that happens in the household. It doesn't matter who did anything wrong. If he's in this mood, the system is now everyone leaves home with a black eye. Now you see this. Now listen to my next. This is for my men. This can be for women too, but I really want to talk to guys real quick. I see a lot of, let's just call them soft men. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You know, men who aren't as assertive with their power as some women would want them to be. Okay? I'm trying to be very respectful, but here's where I'm getting ready to pull the curtain back. Here's what actually happens. When they've been in a systematic abusive relationship, they were rewarded for being weak. Because had they stood up to their father or whoever their abuser was, the abuser would have punished them, often with physical abuse, emotional abuse, timeouts that go too far. That's solitary confinement is a timeout. It's almost inhumane. You've seen Harry Potter, locking you in the closet under the stairs, like things like that, locking you in the basement. So in order for you to get peace in your household, in your environment, is to actually be weak. So you get rewards for being weak. Does that make sense? And so you wind up seeing a lot of people, and not just men, women too, but I really want to focus on men, because I see this a lot in men, and I see this because I have to talk to their wives who are upset about how he's not assertive enough. And they haven't traced back that he was rewarded for being weak. It's not that he is weak. It is he has only been rewarded. Life has only been good to him when he has been weak. Does that make sense? No, it's okay. Now let's flip it on women. Same thing. Women. Some of you have grown up in households to where your mother really could not bear the fact that your father left them, or whatever it may be. I don't want to be insensitive to anybody, but the relationship didn't work out, and now you keep having to pay for your mother's hatred of your father. And so you wind up getting systematic punishment. You hear it in these ways. You act just like your dad. I'm going to send you over there to your daddy's people. And you wind up knowing one side of your family far more than you know the other, right? Well, that's all families are kind of like that because everybody's dysfunctional. But I'm saying when it comes to systematic abuse. So now there's lots of parents do a great job not talking bad about their, you know, parents or spouses in front of their children or to them. However, there are still people who suffer from this. Does this make sense? Neglect is another one, right? Neglect is powerful, especially when you're not the only child. When you get neglect in a household and you're not the only child, that rips at you because you start to put the meaning on neglect and you start either acting out to get attention, becoming promiscuous, as in acting out to get attention, violent to get attention, and you end up having a background or a reputation that's not worthy of you, only because you were seeking the approval of the people who were neglecting you. One of the worst forms of the abuse there is neglect. If that doesn't make sense, I'll say it this way. I guess a pretty popular way to say it. At least popular in the circles I grew up in. If you treat a child like a cage animal, they're going to act like a cage animal. Does that make sense? Okay? And then abuse, right? Now, abuse is a touchy subject here because physical wounds heal. They're terrible. I'm not giving anybody permission to start hitting people. Emotional wounds, they seem to never heal. A black eye, and I'm not giving you permission to give people black eyes. I'm just trying to get you to understand. Don't just say, well, I apologize for hitting them. They should be okay. No, the scar you left from when you hit them is far worse than what you have given them physically. Does that make sense? Here's another thing that can cause low self-esteem. Most people don't consider it, but you, over my internet waves here, brought it up yesterday, so one of the lessons. Spiritual abuse. Now, you didn't say it this way, but when you brought up homosexuality, and well, if God doesn't like me, then no one else does. There have been many of people crushed by spiritual leaders and spiritual people and mortally wounded forever because of hurting people in the name of some deity.
Slavery.
Thank you. Slavery, at least American slavery, was backed up by the Christian Bible.
Or even in the Bible, even in the Christian Bible, with I don't know the actual scripture, but the story of a lady caught in the act of adultery,
yes,
and the leaders of the church condemned her, basically.
John chapter 8 is what she is speaking of. The popular title for that episode is the adulterous woman, or the lady who committed adultery. And you don't even have to be Christian to know that story. It's a popular story. The lady was caught in the act of adultery, and then she's sent towards the Christian protagonist, Jesus Christ, to be punished. Now, what she's saying is that's not the point of the story that she's bringing out. She's bringing out those were spiritual leaders saying, hey, you're wrong, go die. And I'm afraid that we keep doing the same thing today. That's 2,000 years ago, but we still keep saying oh, you're pregnant before you should have been. Go die, right? Go apologize in front of the church. And I'm not here to argue if that's right or wrong. What I am here to tell you is, for some people, for lots of people, that causes an emotional abuse that keeps them away from the church forever, and it also keeps them away from everybody else. Does that make sense? All right, great. Forgot I have my guy coming to cut the office, the grass around the office, so that's what you hear in the background. They're out there cutting the grass. But either way, that's pretty good, right? And so neglect, emotional abuse, systematic punishment, abuse, all these things make sense. Another one, failing to meet parental standards. Yes. Let's talk about it. Failure to meet parental standards. Yes. Some of you, I'll be light here, okay? Well, I'll be light on you too. Some of us are still trying to prove our worth to our parents. Decades later, we have jobs to prove that to our parents what we can do. We chose a certain mate to prove to our parents, you don't control my life. So you choose somebody unworthy of you because they're not going to tell you who to date. We've become perfectionists because they always corrected our vocabulary when we talked. They embarrassed us in front of our friends and whatever it may be. Now, and when we didn't meet those high standards, or maybe our parents were high achievers and we just never came out to be as smart as our parents. They're lawyers and doctors, and you know what? We wanted to be a policeman. And that just didn't, they went to Ivy League schools and you wanted to go to the military and that just didn't, you know, and all these things. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. Here's what I want to tell you to get over low self-esteem. This is important. And this is very important to me as someone growing up without parents. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. I hear a lot of people, I never grew up with my parents. Well, after 6 years old, I never, so like, 2 years after I start forming solid memories, boom, no parents no more. And so I always hear people complain about their parents. And I don't say anything, but I'm always thinking, wow, that makes sense. But at least you had parents. Like, I'm always thinking that. Somewhere in my head, I'm always thinking, at least you had parents there to make that mistake. There's always someone worse. So this is important to me because I want to take up for your parents. Now, some of them are downright abusive. My parents were downright abusive. And then let me go, which is even more abusive. But I am who I am today, and I don't hold it against my parents. It's a level of forgiveness that we all have to get to. But either way, the point is, what we said the other day, they did the best they could with what they had. However, if you're not meeting up to your parents' expectations, let me give you a word of encouragement here. Everything isn't for you. And just because you can't perform to that level of expectation or standard doesn't mean that you can't perform. It just means whatever you're trying to do is not your gift. Please receive this. I believe it was Albert Einstein that said, I'll paraphrase it because I'm not going to quote it correctly, You can call a fish, a dolphin, an idiot for not climbing a tree. That makes no sense. It's not supposed to climb a tree. But if you put a dolphin in the water, it is the smartest mammal in the water. Smartest creature, period. Mammal or not. What does that mean? Put the dolphin in the right environment, the dolphin becomes a genius. Put the tree in the right environment, the tree becomes a genius. Put you, dear listener, dear watcher, in TV land on Nick at Night. You, all of you, put you in the right environment, and then you become a genius. Is that fair? All right, another one. Failing to meet peer group standards. This is probably the tough, this is tough as a kid. This is tough. For failing to meet peer group standards. Peer pressure. Anybody ever felt that one? Peer pressure. Your shoes. Those are ugly shoes. Low self-esteem. Your mom sews your clothes. Low self-esteem. Now today, as a grown person, you wish you got some clothes sewn for you. You have your own clothing line. Funny how we don't think about that now, and you'd never be paying money for clothes. But as a kid, your mom sewing your clothes means you're poor. Does that make sense? As an adult getting your clothes sewn for you, you're either extremely wealthy because you have custom-made everything, or you're pretty financially savvy. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But we don't think like that as kids because we don't have that adult mind. So this is where peer group standards, right? Peer group expectations and standards. You don't look like us, so you're less than us. Oh, don't let that slide by you. Don't let that slide by you. You know why I don't want you to let it slide by you? Because you still do it as adults. If your coworkers don't invite you to the coworker outing, you lose all self-esteem and you hate that job from that moment forth. You understand what I'm saying? We still do the same thing. We still do the same thing. If you're religious, if you're not in this religious circle, inside this religious circle, we still do the same thing. Why? Because my internet counterpart here wisely said something. Comparison. We are comparing creatures. You don't mind being 300 pounds as long as everyone around you is more than 300 pounds. Now, you're the skinniest of all your friends. Does this make sense? But let them go on a diet and lose weight and drop 100 pounds. Watch how fast you will go on a diet and start dropping weight with them. Because you're not going to be outdone. Now, I get this. You're going, no. We all like this. We're all like this. Okay, that's not you. You don't have a weight problem. Let your friends get a degree. Watch how you enroll in school pretty soon. We do it all the time. All of our friends have baby fever and getting married and having babies. And what we're going, especially this is for my ladies now, right? This is for my ladies. Oh, right? Your biological clock starts ticking. She's laughing on the internet, right? You get what I'm saying, you right? We're comparing creatures. There's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong with that is when we compare to the detriment of our self-esteem. When we put negative meaning on that comparing, they have husbands, something must be wrong with me. Does that make sense? They have cars, something must be wrong with me. Why can't I have a stable job? They have friends. I must not be someone who's friendly. And we do this all the time. And this is what low self-esteem is real. This is a real thing. This is not some cliche. It's not in a land of magical unicorns. And it's not just a kid thing. And it's most certainly not just a woman thing. Low self-esteem is real. It doesn't care about your religion. It doesn't care about your creed. It doesn't care about your color, weight, size. It doesn't care about your country. Low self-esteem is coming if you let it. Make sense? And so we got to be careful about our peer group standards. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Because if remember, the reason I'm going through all this stuff with you, because if you can account for it,
you can control it.
You can control it. That's right. Something I say all the time. If you can account for the fact that you hurt yourself when you don't meet up to peer group standards, then you can control that. Because here's the deal. When are those standards actually making you a better person? Are those office gossip standards putting money in your bank account? Yeah, go ahead.
With those standards, okay. Would those standards be beneficial once you learn what it is? Couldn't those standards be beneficial to you and put money in your pocket if you think of it in a positive aspect? Like, okay, then that's where I don't want to be because it's not benefiting me, so let me go over here.
Absolutely. You should learn anything. You should always look for the good in every bad situation. Now, people with low self-esteem, what I just said was you should solve for E in M equals MC squared. And you should tell me the distance between the moon, the Earth moon, and Saturn. That's basically what I just said to people with low self-esteem. You should always look for the good and the bad. I might as well just talk about quantum physics. You know to look for the good and the bad. You just don't know how. Does that make sense? If you had low self-esteem, you'd automatically look for the good and the bad. And it's not something you naturally do. And I want to tell you something, though, that you asked that. Everything, every standard doesn't put money in your pocket, even if it is good. You can find the good and the bad of gossiping. Well, you know what? The good and the bad there is, I'm in the in circle. And we're laughing, and people are smiling. Yeah, but at the detriment of someone else's low self-esteem. And that's never okay. Make sense?
I didn't think about looking at the positive in a negative aspect. Because it's looking at the positive, but it's still a negative aspect that you're in.
If it's a negative thing. Some things are just negative. Okay. Yes, sure, it's adding laughter in your life, making fun of someone. But what are you doing to their life? And think about this. Half of us, we got low self-esteem because we were the one they were talking about. Make sense? And I'll tell you, most people that spend a lot of time talking about other people, they actually have low self-esteem. They just mask it well. And scientifically, I'm trying to see which science this is. Macronomics, I want to say psychologically, I want to say psychology. This is a real scientific truth. The popular kid or the popular adult, they lie the most. No, this is facts. Like, this is my military intelligence training. I'm giving it to you right now. This is facts. The one who is the most popular lies the most. They have literally lied to everyone. And that's how they're the most popular. Those are facts. Welcome to behavior analysis. Okay, there's facts. Ha! They've convinced everyone that they're the right person for them. Everyone thinks that person is their best friend. Lies all over the place. Okay, they only feed compliments and never anything, right? Lies all over the place. And that person, most of those people never know who they are because they spend so much time impressing other people. They don't know who they are. And sometimes they're just so good that they don't lie. So, yes. Point is, everybody's lying. But what you don't do is you don't let your laughter be at the expense of someone else's self-esteem. Ever. That's not okay. You understand what I'm saying? That is not okay. That would never be okay. Here's another one. This is for my empathetic people. Being on the receiving end of someone's stress. I should have got some. Or distress. Their stress or their distress. Yes. Yes. This is for my empathetic people here. Some of you have low self-esteem because you keep on taking on other people's problems. Because you don't know how to say no. Watch this here. I just heard Lisa Nichols say this here. I just heard her say this here. Or something similar to it. You don't know how to say no enough to where your yeses actually become valuable. Yes! You can't see her. She's laughing over here. Yes! Lisa Nichols just said that. She just blessed me with that. Watching her before we started. You don't say no enough to where your yeses actually become valuable. And so my empathetic people, you say yes to everybody. You say yes to all their problems and you take on all their stress and you feel it and it hurts so bad. And watch it, they dump. When they leave you, they feel great. Oh, baby, I'm so glad you listened to me. Oh, I feel so much better now. And you're like, I'm so glad you feel better. On the inside, you're breaking down. And then you go home and you kick the dog because you done took all their problems and you took it home to them. Now, let's do that this way. Here's a bottle of water, okay? Or Zocker water. Sponsor my company now since I put you on camera, okay? All right, but anyway. All of us are a bottle of water, okay? My empathetic people, so are you. Now, your job is to fill yourself up. Yes. In the nighttime or whatever you have your downtime, especially my introverts, yes. Fill yourself up. So when you leave your house in the morning, you're full. If you continuously do that, here's my little Hawaiian punch here, then you can have like overflow. So when people get from you, they don't get your contents, they get your overflow. Yes. Now watch this here, if it makes this make sense for low self-esteem people. They get your overflow, and when you have to give someone out of your own energy, they take from your overflow first, and then you give someone 3 hours of a conversation. Okay, that's 30% of energy. You got 70% left. That's pretty good. You work, your job gets 20%, 30% or whatever, and you're like, yes, I'm happy. You go home with 50% energy. Not bad at all. If you don't have 3% conversation, excuse me, 30% conversations, then you go to job, your job gets some good amount of energy, but you have fun there. You walk home with 70% energy. People with low self-esteem, they've already snatched your energy. And you haven't had it in a long time. Now, watch this here. Hand me this one's empty. This water bottle's empty. It has a little speck. Like, put that to that camera and let them see this and make sure it zoom in. A little speck of water. You see it? Yeah, they can see it. I can see it. This little speck of water. And y'all go outside like this. And then those people in your life snatch this water out of you. And you wonder why you're empty all day. So you come home empty because you left near empty. And so I don't blame you for disassociating yourself from society. I scientifically understand the reason why. However, disassociating yourself from a society, letting people drain you, isn't working for you, And neither is walking out the house an empty cup. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. All right. Here's another one. This one hurts. Belonging to a family or social group that other people hate. Oh, we're going to work it out today. Think about this for a second. I want you to think about every sitting president that has ever sat in the White House of the United States of America. Worldwide, so I want you to think about whoever runs your country and think about the families of those people. Now listen, nobody was voted 100% in anything unless it's a dictator. And that's not a vote. Does that make sense? Okay. Can you imagine? Like, okay, think about whoever it is, we won't name them. Think about the president or what is it in Britain? Prime minister. I don't know why it left me for a second, right? Think about president, prime minister, all that stuff. Think about these people, because we really do. We got people in Egypt and everybody that watches this. Think about the president, prime minister, whatever it is in Egypt. I think it's the president. All that stuff. Think about that. Now, think about the one you hated the most. Or maybe you didn't hate them. Maybe you don't hate anybody. Think about the one that you know was the most hated in your circle, your country, your creed, color, religion, whatever. Think about that. Can you imagine being a child of that person? Think about yourself. If you suffer from self-esteem right now, and you're in an air-conditioned room, and you're not working under a construction, whatever, and you're not homeless, and you suffer low self-esteem, imagine being part of a family that millions of people hate. And every time you turn on the TV, you only hear about how much they hate your father. If that doesn't make sense to you, it's okay. This great guy named William Shakespeare wrote a play about it. It's called Romeo and Juliet. that's exactly Romeo and Juliet. The two families hated each other. It's a terrible story. I actually seen someone say, like, relationship goals for Romeo and Juliet. They never read the book. Two families hate each other. One side killed the other. The lady woke up faking of the death. And then killed herself when she saw her love was dead. Everybody dies at the end. It's like a very entertaining story. Because everybody dies. You know what I'm saying? Now imagine growing up in that kind of family. Some of your religions are giving you low self-esteem. I don't mean to be. But you have to choose to stay there. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just... My job is just to give you the source. Now, what you do with that is up to you. Some of your churches or mosque, you love your religion, but your church is giving you low self-esteem. Your big religion gives you hope. Your local body takes it from you. Some of your spouses give you low self-esteem. Okay. Here's what else can bring you low self-esteem. This is important. The absence of praise. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And I want to tell you who I know for sure suffered from this. I'm going to walk soft on that one, okay? Here's who you think suffers from this. The people who always want praise. Always out there in the spotlight. Oh my God, you sang so well. And they go, yeah. The people like the ego stroke, they do want praise. Here's the deal. They're not suffering from the absence of it because they're always going out and pulling it out of you. Make sense? People like to be micromanaged. Ooh, look what I did. Or, Pastor, look at what I did over here. Right? All that stuff. Here's who actually suffers from this. Now, everybody suffered from it. Here's who suffered from it the most from my experience. Not even my opinion, from my experience. Good, hard-working background people. Yes, write this down. Good, hard-working people who only live and work in the background. And I'm going to tell you something. Most of them run your whole company. And half of them are administrative professionals. Now, let me talk to us supervisors out there, okay? Let me talk to me. You are killing the people working for you. They don't look for praise, and that's why it's important to give it to them. Because they spend their whole life saying, no, it's okay, don't worry about it. And living in a job that literally says, don't worry about it, I'm just the guy making or the girl making the machine move. And that's why they need the praise. Because their job, their personalities, they probably get a sincere praise 3 times a year. One of those will be on their birthday. Let me know if I'm lying. So if they're a mother or a father, there's two right there. Happy Mother's Day or Father's Day. And that's not even sincere. The people who suffer with this the most are the people who are behind me or anybody like me. Does that make sense? People are going to go, oh, God, this was the greatest class ever. And they're going to shoot it all out there. And Antonio T. Smith Jr., he's amazing. You have no idea about Tempest, Deanna, Shannon, Bryant, Grace. Like, you have no idea these people exist. You don't. Oh my God, this conference was so amazing. You have no idea I didn't sell a single ticket. Make sense? One of the most detrimental things happening to people is the absence of praise. Sometimes it's not on purpose. But you'd be surprised how much a thank you will save someone's life and give them 6 years of energy for the job that you have them doing. Two most powerful words on planet Earth, thank you. Okay, here's another one. Last one I'll do like this, because this is, I'm just punching y'all all in the stomach. Just, somebody went, oh my God, all of this, every bit, one of these, I can't wait till I get it. I totally get it. I put some thought into these so I can bring them out. Here's the last one. Being the odd one out. Or the black sheep. Or the weird one. Being the odd one out. That's not just at work. It's detrimental at home. It's detrimental when the whole family's in the living room watching a movie and you're in the room by yourself reading a book. Come on, let me talk to some real folk. I want to talk to some real folk. I want to talk. You watching the whole family laughing. But since you different, they just assumed you wouldn't want to watch it with them. And maybe you didn't, but you know what would have felt good? Had they asked you. Am I making sense? Okay, that's right. Unanimous head bobbing. I'm making sense. I get it. We're going to have to learn how to deal with it. Okay, I'm identifying this to you. We're going to deal with this in the next two lessons. The next two lessons are part one and part two. How to handle all of this. I'm just identifying it for you right now. Look, you can't see it, but both their faces went, Because they know if I ever do a part one and part two, I'm walking hard, and it's a whole, they know it is not a pretty thing when I do a part one and part two. We got to talk. I'm identifying this. Does it make sense? So what's the bottom line here? As we grow up, when the people who are significant to us treat us insignificantly, we suffer from low self-esteem. Did that make sense? Like, write that down in the little workbook thing. The people who treat us, the people who are significant to us, who treat us insignificantly, they damage us the most. Now, you guys don't know it. When I have my trusty assistant business partner, she's making, like, the greatest workbook on planet Earth.
Yes.
And this is, right? And so this is a great example. Let me give you a great example. I'm not doing the workbook. I prepared the 20 lessons. I wrote them down. She's saving me time. Instead of me having to record, then go back and listen to each one and get feedbacks and do surveys, she's doing all that while it's happening. Make sense? Even if she can't be here, she'll FaceTime me so she can hear it. And you're going to go, oh my God, the workbook was so awesome. The class had this. And you're never going to know to thank her. And it's not your job. But I'll do damage if I don't say thank you. Thank you. She smiled thumbs up. And thank you too. Right? Spencer, you started us off with tears. You did a good job. Yes, yes. But you're here. And so there is power in presence. Showing up lets people know that you're there for them. A lot of people talk. Yes, so she's writing it down, right? Lots of people talk. But there is power in presence. You can literally get rid of people's low self-esteem by just showing up. Just show up in someone's life and you'll literally help them get rid of their self-esteem. But I don't know what to say. Guess what? You don't have to. Show up. Show up and sit there and be quiet. No, you can go. I know you don't have nothing to say. That's all right, baby. I don't need nothing to say. I came here with you. If it don't fix your self-esteem, it at least fixes your self-esteem with that person. How many of you have low self-esteem, but you have one person you can truly be yourself with? We should all have that person, and we should all be that person for somebody else. Make sense? So, go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, you answered it earlier, but... So if you have that person and you're that for somebody else, if you're still suffering with it yourself, how do you, and you mentioned it earlier, but I just want to ask again for someone who didn't catch it earlier. If you have that person that helps you build your self-esteem, but you're also that person who has low self-esteem, yet you're still dealing with it yourself, how do you build yourself up to be that person for somebody else?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, I went through all my textbook answers. Here's the real answer. You start before you think you're ready. This is the truth. I was going to tell you some great answers that I read in a book somewhere because I can see them in my head right now because my memory's just like that. Let me give you the real answer. The real people answer. You start before you think you're ready for two reasons. Because human beings always underestimate their own ability. It's reason number one. Reason number two, when you help people, you help you. If you want to get out of low self-esteem, you be vulnerable with someone else that has low self-esteem. And as you say me too with them, as you hear their problems, and it may be worse than yours, then it pushes your problems into perspective, which is how I was going to end this class. And that actually, the universe has made you ask that question. Because at the end of it, this is a setup for the next two classes. At the end of it, most of your low self-esteem, now you're going to reject this at first. Some of you are going to hate this, but I don't mean to be insensitive. It's from a biased perception. That means a perception in which you are always the victim. You have to change your perception if you want to change your low self-esteem. Some of you initially rejected that, and that's okay. We're going to keep going over it, and I do apologize. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I have a heart for you. But a biased perception will lead you further down low self-esteem. Change your perception. Just because they didn't invite you doesn't mean that you're unlikable. Maybe those aren't your friends. Maybe you are a good person and they're not good people. Or the most logical one, maybe they just forgot to ask. Or maybe you just put off the energy, you wouldn't have went anyway. Either way, it'll be a setup for the next two classes. Change your perception. You'll eventually change your reality. My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr. I do thank you for coming out. God bless you and good night.